Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Now war arose in heaven. You say a war in heaven? I can understand war on earth, but a war in heaven? Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated. And he was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Did you know that there is an ongoing spiritual war being waged between the forces of darkness and the kingdom of God? This isn't fiction or a Hollywood movie. It's a very real conflict that reaches its climax in the events of Revelation. Today, we're beginning an eye-opening lesson about wars in heaven and on earth. And to get us started, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John sees into heaven and also sees what is going to happen in the future. I want to encourage you to keep reading the book of Revelation and not be discouraged if you find you're not understanding everything. Today we're looking at Revelation 19 and dealing with wars in heaven and on earth. That seems strange, doesn't it? Yet remember, right from the fall, in the Garden of Eden, there is this conflict between good and evil. The Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So that enmity and conflict which began then continues, as we'll see today.
I'm going to ask you to turn to the next chapter, Revelation 12. And as we come to this chapter, which admittedly is not the easiest chapter in the book of Revelation, we're going to read about conflict, in fact, spiritual conflict, spiritual warfare. Do you know anything about that? Wars in heaven and on earth. I find this chapter very fascinating as it describes Star Wars. I don't like science fiction, but I am intrigued by Star Wars here. I think Goodney and I were unique when the first Star Wars came. After about 50 minutes, I looked at Goodney. I said, this is really weird. I'm leaving. And she said, I feel exactly the same. I know some of you think, oh, I can't believe he doesn't like Star Wars. I don't. There you are. Something else to boo your pastor about. But I am interested in the real Star Wars. If you like Star Wars fiction, that's okay. But I want you to know more about the real Star Wars. Not science fiction. Not Hollywood, but rather spiritual warfare, the real Star Wars in heaven and on earth. That's what we're going to learn today. First of all, there is a war on earth in the first six verses of Revelation 6. Let me read with you, first of all, the first two verses where this first great sign appears in heaven. Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Here is a great sign, a symbol. A sign is something which points to something else. Here is a great sign appearing in heaven. Who is this woman? Her clothing is described in a very curious way, isn't it? She's clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Does that sound familiar? A sun, a moon, and 12 stars? If you know your Bible, if you know the story of Joseph, that is familiar. Remember the dream that Joseph had? The sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. The sun was his father, Jacob, Israel. The moon was his mother. And the 11 stars were his brothers. And so here is a picture, I believe, of Israel. The woman is a sign, is a symbol of the nation of Israel. Throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, Israel as a nation is often described as a woman who suffers. And that suffering is often described as birth pains. A woman who is in the pain of child delivery. And this is our picture here in the first two verses of Revelation chapter 12. But notice what happens, verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head, 7 diadems. Here's this great red dragon. 7 heads, 10 horns, and on the heads, 7 diadems. This, of course, is none other than the devil himself. We know that from verse 9. It says the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil, Diabolos, and Satan. Here is a picture, a very graphic picture of the devil, who's portrayed as this great red dragon, a monster, 7 heads and 10 horns. The 10 horns refers to the 10 kingdoms of Daniel 7. A few years ago, we studied Daniel 7. If you've forgotten about Daniel 7, when you go home this afternoon, read Daniel 7. It really is the background to Revelation 12 and Revelation 13. A 10-nation confederacy, which we will see in these future studies of Revelation, will be ruled by the Antichrist. So let's read from verse 4 through 6. His tail, that's the dragon's tail, swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,268 days, 3.5 years. Isn't this intriguing? Here's this red dragon, and his tail sweeps down a third of the stars of heaven and casts them to the earth. Stars in Revelation and elsewhere often refer to angels, as they do here. Remember back in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, we're told that the 7 stars that John sees in his vision are the 7 angels of the 7 churches. So these stars here are angels. And the serpent, as he falls to earth from heaven, takes with him a third of the angels. We call them the fallen angels. We have in the Old Testament the description of the rebellion of Satan. In, for example, Isaiah 14, where Satan, this beautiful angel, this highest angel with all of his glory, he says, I will make myself like the Most High. He, in fact, rebels against God, his pride. He wants to be like God. He wants to remove God and put himself at the center of the whole universe. And so he is cast down. And as he is cast down, a third of the angels of heaven identify with Satan, and they fall down. We know from Scripture, such as 2 Peter 2, verse 4 and Jude 6, that among the fallen angels, some of them are in change, in gloomy darkness. We've seen this before. They are in prison, a spiritual prison, to the day of the final judgment. But others of them are with Satan now, and are, we call them demons, and they are there to do the will and the plan of Satan himself. So what do we have here? We have this great red dragon. The Greek word is dragon, from which we get dragon. This great red dragon, he's standing before this pregnant woman who is Israel. And what's he doing? He is just waiting until the child is born, and he, the scripture says, is going to devour it. Who is this child in Revelation 12 who the red dragon wants to devour? Not really a very difficult question. We read here in verse 5, he's the one who's going to rule all of the nations with a rod of iron. Who's the one in the future who's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron? We know that from Revelation 19, that this is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his humanity, our Lord comes from the nation of Israel. He is Jewish. Paul says that in Romans 9, verse 5, that the Messiah comes from their race, that is Israel, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. So here is the nation of Israel, portrayed by this woman, and she's about to give birth. And here is the devil portrayed as a great red dragon, just waiting to pounce to devour the Messiah. Isn't it interesting in the scriptures how Satan has always tried to destroy the Messiah? Think particularly at the birth of our Savior when he was born in Bethlehem. Think of the evil King Herod. What does Herod do? He puts out a decree that all of the baby boys from 2 years and under living in the area of Bethlehem are to be put to death. Think of that. Think of how evil Herod was. Who is behind Herod? Who is always behind those who kill children? This great red dragon. Isn't it interesting? He's described as red, symbolizing that he is bloodthirsty, symbolizing that he is evil. Jesus says in John 8 regarding our enemy, he is a murderer from the beginning. And he is waiting to kill the baby Messiah. Do you know that he still is in the business of killing babies? We live in a country, a so-called civilized country, but which still systematically kills thousands and thousands of the most innocent human beings there are, those who are still in their mother's womb. And we call ourselves civilized? Who is behind this? There are women who say, well, it's our body. We're not going to have men telling me what to do with my body. I've got my rights. Yes, they have their rights. But you don't have a moral right to do that which is morally evil. What about the right of the unborn? What about the right of the baby? But brothers and sisters, we really shouldn't be too surprised about the attack on the unborn and the attack on those who stand for life, because the attack and the hatred comes from this great red dragon. I'm very glad that at church we take our stand for life. Life including the life of the unborn child. And we are opposed to the killing of the unborn. But we don't despair, because isn't it wonderful here that Satan isn't able to devour the Messiah? Oh, he deceives evil men, so they crucify our Savior, but that is all in accordance with the plan of our Lord. And that our Lord Jesus Christ not only dies and is buried, but he rises from the dead. And in his ascension, to use the words of verse 5, he is caught up to God and to his throne. A reminder that God is always in control, that no one can usurp and knock God off his throne. Satan tries. He tries to attack the Messiah. We're going to see in a minute that he attacks Israel and he attacks every follower of Jesus Christ. But our Savior ascends. Not only does he rise from the dead, he ascends to his Father and to his God and to the throne. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And he defeats the enemy. And he is alive forevermore. But notice verse 6. It says very interesting. Not being able to exterminate the Messiah, not being able to devour the Messiah, Satan then turns his attention to the woman, Israel. And he's going to continue his persecution during the tribulation. Many in Israel flee into the wilderness, we're told here in verse 6, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. We've seen this again and again. 3.5 years. Many think that this could be Petra. Now, I say that. I want to believe that because I was recently there and we've got pictures of Petra in southwest Jordan. This amazing place. And many scholars think that during the tribulation period, when particularly the nation of Israel is being persecuted by the Antichrist and Satan, that this will be the place prepared by God. Verses 1 through 6, war on earth. But now verses 7 through 12, there is war in heaven. First of all, verses 7, 8, and 9. Now war arose in heaven. You say a war in heaven? I can understand war on earth, but a war in heaven? Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. This is Star Wars. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great red dragon, here it just says the great dragon, but it is the great red dragon, was thrown down. That ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Michael and his angels are warring against the great dragon and his angels. Who is Michael? He's the archangel. Particularly, he's the defender of Israel, we know from the Old Testament. And with his angels, he successfully defeats Satan and his army. What a tremendous battle that must be. I asked you earlier, I asked you again, do you believe in spiritual warfare? Paul, the apostle, certainly did. He says, we don't wrestle, talking to Christians at Ephesus, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Let me remind you that there are evil forces of darkness, and these are real. Now, as a result of the initial rebellion against God, Satan is cast down. We've seen that. What is Satan just now, before the Lord returns? He is the prince of the power of the air. Paul describes him as the god, small g, the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4. He's a prince. He's a god of this world. And he has great power and his great authority on earth. His present domain is on earth, but we know from the scriptures and others that sometimes he has access to heaven. Last Sunday evening, when I was dealing with the subject of suffering, we read some verses at the beginning of the book of Job, and we saw Satan having this conversation with God in heaven. So in some mysterious way, difficult for us to envisage, Satan, although he was cast down, he is still, up to this point, these events are yet future, he's able to have access into heaven. But now, as a result of this future battle in heaven, verses 7 and following hasn't yet happened, Satan is cast down. He's defeated. And it says in verse 8, isn't this wonderful? There was no longer any place for them in heaven. Verse 9, he was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Michael and his angels must have had great joy in getting this red dragon, throwing him down to earth and throwing down all of his angels. No longer is he able to come into the presence of God. What does he do coming into the presence of God? Why did he come into the presence of God and speak about Job? Because, as we read here, he is the great accuser. He is the accuser of the brothers. Notice in verse 9 and 10, a sixfold description of the devil. He's called the great red dragon. He's called that ancient serpent. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. He's called the deceiver of the whole world. You ever wonder why people are deceived and are so irrational sometimes? He's the deceiver of the whole world. And he is, please notice this one, he is the accuser of our brothers. That's what Satan means. He's our adversary. He is our accuser. Now, not only will the devil and his angels be thrown down to the earth, we read in Revelation 20 that they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which is their final destination. Thrown down from heaven to earth, but ultimately, after the millennial kingdom, before the eternal state, Satan and his angels are going to be thrown into hell itself. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 41, that hell, the eternal fire, is prepared for the devil and his angels. But notice in verses 10 through 12, the announcement of victory. Eliza, I'm going fast. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, can you hear this? Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them. Listen to this. Who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. What an amazing passage of scripture. This victory is a total one, is announced with a loud voice in heaven. Notice the basis of our victory. Notice what it is, verse 11. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. How are you going to have the victory over the enemy? It's by looking to Calvary. It's by pleading the blood of Christ. It's looking to the Lamb of God, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, the cross of Christ dealt the death blow to Satan. The cross defeats our enemy. That's why we sing a lot about the cross. That's why we sing a lot about the blood of Christ. And so when the devil accuses you, and he will, always remind him that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, Wars in Heaven and on Earth. To revisit any part of today's lesson, or find more from our current study in the book of Revelation, chapters 4 through 14, just visit our website at theverdict.org. And if topics like today make you want to go deeper in your study of this fascinating book, we want to help you do that with our brand new Revelation Listening Guide. This printable guide will equip you with key notes, questions, and specific prompts to enrich your study of this important book. So be prepared to follow along with tomorrow's program by downloading your free copy of the Revelation Listening Guide today at theverdict.org. And here at The Verdict, we're dedicated to sharing the truth of God's Word through this program each and every day. As we strive to reach as many people as possible, we invite you, our faithful listeners, to join us in this mission. Your support is a key piece in our effort to continue sharing the gospel. To make a one-time or recurring donation today, just go online to theverdict.org. Or you can send a check in the mail by addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And by the way, we'd love to have you join us for our Sunday morning services here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. To find directions or details for our live stream online, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Don't you agree that there's a continuing conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness? As you read the Bible, you see repeatedly this conflict. Now, in the last book of the Bible, this conflict is coming to a climax. The devil is an implacable foe against God and his kingdom. And as we follow Jesus Christ, we must remember that our enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour. Today, put on the full armor of God and stand fast.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.